The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so we're going to get in the Wayback Machine just for a second here. And for those of you that have been around the show for a while, even though radio for me started in 2007, my kind of voyage into a little bit more of a public life and getting engaged in the issues of the day really started in 2004. And as I progressed, 2004, 2005, 2006, I was just running my house painting company and kind of minding my business, my own business. And we had our nice little homeschool world and self-employed and everything. But God chose to disrupt that and change the direction of my life. And that's how I ended up on radio. But in those first several years, I kept encountering people and meeting people because I literally knew no one. I had never been involved. I would pray occasionally for politicians and would vote regularly. But other than that, I was just on the outside looking in, but all of a sudden I was on the inside. And as God opened those horizons, he started to allow me to meet people that were truly helpful and inspiring, people that were way further down the road of involvement and getting things done than I was. And Tammy Fitzgerald's with us today. She's the founder of NC Values Coalition, and Tammy was one of those people early on. And I don't know what you thought at the time, Tammy, but I was a little overwhelmed by it all. But I just kept meeting godly brothers and sisters, and you were one of them. So thank you for all the years of having such a good influence on me.
Well, that's really kind, Steve, and way over, I see it differently. You had an influence on me. So I appreciate your boldness. And those early years, we were all just kind of getting to know each other. Yeah. And figuring out the process.
So. Yeah. And it's always been so wonderful to have brothers and sisters in Christ and the fight together. And especially since we have the bond of Christ as Christians, we know all these things that we deal with here primarily are temporal. They're not eternal. And so it's wonderful to be able to have that context that we know that we're not really fighting a battle of flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. It's always spiritual, even though it ramifies in its entirety, for the most part, what you can see in the political realm. But yeah, it's been a wild ride. So NC Values Coalition, yeah. Next week is a big day. That's next Thursday at Angus Barn. My wife and I will be there. 10th anniversary. Is that a shocking thing to hear for you as the founder that all of a sudden, boom, it's the 10th anniversary?
It is. It is really wonderful to have been around for 10 years and looking back at the things that we've worked on, some things we've accomplished, just all the many things that have happened in the last 10 years. And it is shocking that it has been 10 years, Steve. It doesn't seem like it.
No, time flies when you're having fun. So when people ask you what you do, Tammy, how do you explain it to them?
Well, the North Carolina Values Coalition is a statewide organization of Christians, and we were founded in 2011. We're nonpartisan, nonprofit, and our vision is to be a powerful, positive political force that advances a culture in North Carolina where human life is valued, religious freedom thrives, and marriage and families flourish. And so that's what we are about. That's what we hope to do. Some of the ways that we carry out what we want to do is that we impact culture by influencing public policies and elections in favor of life, liberty, and family. And so we pretty much focus on those three issues. That includes school choice as well.
Now, you guys are active, Tammy, inside the building. And when I say that, I mean the legislature. So you're active inside, but you're active outside on the grassroots level as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. We do try to engage people around the state with the issues. We try to educate them about what's going on, and then we engage them to get involved through activism, through showing up at hearings, at legislative bodies. We've had rallies around the state. Yeah. We have press conferences. So we try to give people the tools where they can get engaged and actually make a difference in public policy and the political process.
So what have you seen? And then talk a little bit, Tammy, about the balance between paying attention to North Carolina issues versus national issues. And obviously we know there's some overlap there. But how do you focus on that in terms of, obviously we have a congressional delegation, we have two senators, yada, yada, versus what's happening purely in North Carolina? How do you kind of deal with that balance? And then we'll talk some more details after that.
Well, at the state level, we're very active in lobbying. We have a presence at the General Assembly every day. We have lobbyists at the General Assembly working on legislation. And our goal there is not just to respond to things, but to actually push legislation, to be bringing legislation to the legislators that then get filed and passed into law. So we really don't want to fight things. We want to actively advance things because the issues we work on are important. And we don't want to just advance those issues. We want to win, Steve. And So winning means you have to file bills. But at the federal level, we have a good relationship with our two senators and Republican congressmen. And so when they have an issue that is before them that will impact our state in a big way, we try to make our voices heard through writing them letters and emails, but also visiting with them in their offices sometimes in Washington. And then letting our coalition know when they need to make their voices heard. And we provide tools to people to let their voices be heard, not just before the state legislature, but also to their congressmen and senators and to their local city councils. And so the tool we have allows people to just do one click and they can send an email or they can place a phone call to their elected representative. And that really simplifies it for people. They don't have to look up who represents them. They don't have to look up a phone number or an email address. And so we just simplify the whole process.
Yeah, and that's really what most of us need. A lot of people don't even get involved because it looks like too big of a hill to climb. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to call. And I think most people, especially believers that care about their neighbor as well as themselves, want to engage. Mostly they just lack the ability to, or they don't know how to. So that's why it's so important. I look at you guys, Tammy, in a very nice Christ-like way. To me, you guys are just a predator drone. You guys are flying around dealing with finding where the targets are, finding where we need emphasis. But I really love the emphasis on promoting bills and not just being on our heels all the time, which requires a lot of education down there at the state legislature to teach our legislators what's going on, the merits of these efforts and these bills, and then trying to use us on the outside to push those efforts. It's really a great 1-2 punch. We're talking to Tammy Fitzgerald, NC Values Coalition. ncvalues.org is the website. We're going to talk about how you can get involved in general, and then especially we'll talk about the big event coming up next Thursday right here in Raleigh at the Angus Barn. My wife and I will be there. The only question is, will you? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Caught in a street fight. That sounds familiar. And we're literally, and I know we kind of will get down the road of hyperbole when we start talking about the state of the nation, the culture war, whatever you want to call it. But it sure feels like a street fight, doesn't it? But if you're a follower of Christ, as much as we know we have to be kind of street fighters, so to speak, we're also called to be people that are good ambassadors and good image bearers of Christ and his Father. And so that's when we engage in these issues, cultural issues, politics, all of that stuff. It took me a while to learn this lesson that I wasn't really worried about my public witness. I was just worried about my effectiveness in the political realm. And you have to do both. And that goes back to Jesus talking about being full of both grace and truth. I say this a lot. You guys have heard me say this. Tim Keller, who's retired recently, but he's a pastor up in New York, said, if you're all truth and no grace, you're just a bully. I was really good at that. But if you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. You just kind of walk away from everything just trying to be nice. But John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus full of grace and truth. And we're talking to Tammy Fitzgerald today, the founder of NC Values Coalition, ncvalues.org. And that's always been a challenge for me because it's so frustrating, Tammy. Is that something you've struggled? I was going to ask you, what's the toughest thing about being involved in all these issues for as long as you have?
Well, it is a struggle between grace and truth. I'm so glad you brought that up, Steve, because we run into people a lot of the times who are Christians and our followers who really just want to emphasize the grace part. And of course, the left always uses the words of Jesus when he talks about grace that's their favorite weapon, you know, is to use our own Bible against us.
Right.
But Jesus did talk about truth as well as grace, and we can't leave truth out. And sometimes truth has an edge to it. Sometimes it's it feels like you're being clobbered by a weapon when you present people with truth.
Yeah.
But it should not cause us to shy away from the truth as long as we're presenting it in a loving manner with grace.
Yeah, that's that whole notion that Christianity is like this a warm blanket, and it's so easy. And I always say to people, have you ever read the New Testament?
Yeah.
I mean there's plenty of rebuking going on there and difficult teaching and challenging teaching. But I oftentimes ask people, Tammy, who did Jesus hammer? And really the only people were the religious big mouths of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He had some very difficult teaching and some challenging moments with people on an individual basis. But he never lacked grace with them, even though when it was 100% truth in an awkward moment, he always had grace and compassion for people. So that's a good reminder for all of us. So tell us two things. Let's talk about what's going on this next Thursday at the Angus Barn, which is a nice place to have a 10th anniversary celebration. And you've got some great speakers. That's going to be a great night. But I don't want to leave out how we can be involved with what God has you doing at NC Values in general. So whichever order you want to go in, let's unpack those two things for everybody.
Well, first, let me talk about the celebration of Carolina Values next Thursday. This is our 10th anniversary, and we're celebrating at the Angus Barn starting at 6:30. And we have just some phenomenal speakers. We have Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. And for those of you who have heard him speak, you know that he is not shy.
Yes.
And he is an amazing model of grace and truth. And I mean, he does not shy away from saying the hard things. And so I have a great deal of respect for Lieutenant Governor Robinson. We got to know him during the campaign when we went to his home and recorded him for one of our live issues of The Voice, which was our live stream event for NC Values. And since then, we have seen the tremendous impact he is having, not only at the state level, but also he's on the national scene now.
Oh, yeah.
People across the country are waking up and listening to him. And he has such an amazing background. His background is that he grew up poor, the ninth of 10 children. And his mother never told him that he couldn't accomplish things because he was black and poor. In fact, she told him he could accomplish whatever he put his mind to. And he credits her with his Christian beliefs that through her influence, her mothering, he became a follower of Christ. And he certainly agrees with the position that NC Values has taken on almost every issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so we're thrilled to have Lieutenant Governor Robinson speaking.
For those of you that aren't familiar with Lieutenant Mark Robinson here in North Carolina, if you're sick and tired of kind of mamby-pamby, quote-unquote, politicians or people that are too busy playing PC and they're just not willing to kind of say exactly what they think, you're always going to know exactly what Mark Robinson thinks. And he does it all in the name of the Lord, and he shares his faith openly. He's such a breath of fresh air, and the fact that he's uber conservative and an African American really makes him an interesting challenge and a target for people on the left. But he's such a delight just to hear him speak.
And yes, and of course, I wanted to point out that we also have equally as important and as fascinating is Edward Graham, who is coming to speak. And Edward is the son of Franklin Graham, the grandson of Billy Graham. He's the youngest son of Franklin, and he has come back from a tour of duty in the Army as a Special Forces Ranger. I think he's been in the Army for 16 years, and so he's come back to work at Samaritan's Purse as a vice president and will eventually, it looks like, probably take over the helm at Samaritan's Purse. And so we are excited to get to know Edward Graham and to have members of his family in the audience that night, which is exciting to me. And we're just, of course, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has been a great partner for NC Values through the years. We worked with them on several projects, and we continue to reach out to them. And just they are just good friends and collaborators with NC Values. And so we're very thankful to have Edward Graham as well. Now, if you want to buy a ticket to the event, we are almost sold out.
Wow,
but we
awesome.
Do have a few tickets left. And you can go online to ncvalues.org/celebration. That will take you directly to the site to buy your tickets. If you're a little bit lazy and you just want to type in ncvalues.org, you can reach the page to buy your ticket right there on the homepage of our website. The tickets are going fast, as I said, and we're almost sold out. So I would encourage you to go ahead and buy your ticket this weekend.
Yeah, and if you've never been to the Angus Barn, I mean, Angus Barn is nationally known. Great menu. I mean, it's a beautiful place, really cool, historic. It is a landmark place in North Carolina. So besides just being able to get a great meal, then you get to come out and hear these guys and support Tammy and NC Values. You get a great meal. It's a great package evening, all in something that you can do in the name of the Lord. By the way, Edward Graham, I've been in a couple of events with him, Tammy, and he's so awesome because he's so full of the Lord. Yes, he's a Graham, but he's a guy. I mean, this guy's done multiple tours of active duty and special forces in the Middle East, especially in Iraq, and I think he was in Afghanistan. And so he's got that kind of gravitas, and he carries that with him on the stage. And he was just fabulous. The first time I heard him speak, I'm like, who is this guy? And then you figure out, oh, that's Billy Graham's grandson. It's Franklin's son. And he's just spectacular. And, of course, Mark Robinson will be a blast. So if you need some encouragement and an awesome meal, make sure you come out and join us next Thursday, September 30th, 6:30 p.m., the Angus Barn right here in Raleigh. Go to ncvalues.org. And if you get over there, make sure you say hello to me as well as to Tammy. Tammy, God bless you, sister. Thank you for everything that you do. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much, Steve. And I look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Awesome. We'll see you then. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I love my sister Tammy Fitzgerald and appreciate her. She's just been a stalwart, just somebody that just has never given up. And that's a tough gig, man. I mean, I did a lot of activism, but at the same time, I was running my small business. And then when I got out of that, and I was doing activism, but I was doing radio then, so I wasn't necessarily quote unquote on the front lines. But Tammy's been on the front lines as long as I've known her, which is really probably about 15 or 16 years now, and she's stayed there. And there literally are just not many people. A lot of people, when you're engaging in the culture and you're not in the legislature, you're not an elected official. Believe me, you get in there and it's a rush and it's fun and you feel like you're doing something meaningful. But to stay in there year after year after year with the ups and downs and the overall trend of the nation, which is overall downward, sad to say. But that's just the nature and that's the part of the story that's going on if you know scripture. But to stay in it and to maintain kind of this grace and this kindness and this grit all at the same time is really amazing. So if you've never been a part of NC Values before, you don't know anything about that organization and you're here in North Carolina, I'm telling you, this is one of those times that I'm going to say, okay, if you've never heard of them before, now you have. And with knowledge comes responsibility. And I would encourage you, if you care about what's going on in North Carolina and you want to have an impact, NC Values is pretty much the number one way you can do that because they are on the front lines and promoting bills and then fighting against things. They really do an awesome job. So whether you can join us next Thursday here in Raleigh at the Angus Barn or not, go to ncvalues.org and just sign up and be a supporter so you can get on the email list. You understand when it's time for you to do something and reach out to legislators to be able to push from the sidelines. That's a great thing for you to do, and you'll be blessed by that because obedience always leads to a blessing. So go to ncvalues.org. And you can sign up and just be a part of that. And then if you can join next Thursday, it'll be an awesome night with Edward Graham and Mark Robinson. It's going to be those guys will be funny. They are going to be completely out there on the front line. And so you're not going to have to worry about anybody holding back. And it's going to be Christ exalting. And it's a great way to support a great organization. And then if you do go, look for me and my bride because we'll be there. Okay, something else coming up sooner. Today I was kind of dedicating to what's going on here in our own backyard in North Carolina. And so that's next Thursday, but there's something going on right here in the Raleigh area, specifically up in the Wake Forest area tomorrow, that my buddy Mark Pergerson is joining us by phone, and we're going to talk about that. Now, Mark and I have known each other for a while. He's a heart for the Lord, a great worship leader, a great singer, and Mark, it's great to have you on. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Steve. How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing? Are you ready?
Yeah, I tell you, I'm excited what's going to happen tomorrow. We're just getting together. We're basically this event's based off of John 17. We're just looking to try to get the church together. You know, we've got so many things that have divided, especially racially and all that, and other ways too. But
yeah,
looking forward to it. We got Jason Brown coming. He's going to be speaking from First Fruits Farms. And
was he the former NFL player?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he just gave it all over to the Lord. I mean, yeah. he had a contract that he was going to sign, and I know several people have probably seen his story on Channel 4. There, I think he came on Channel 4, UNC, and was telling about what happened, and God just put him in there, put him in this ministry. So it's a pretty awesome ministry.
Yeah, so tomorrow, make us one. So explain to us, like, what was the genesis of this? Because I completely agree with you. And in the last year and a half, really since the beginning of 2020 with COVID, and then we got the George Floyd event, and we had BLM and COVID, and then we run into the election last year. I mean, it was one thing after another, and there was deep and serious division in the church. And so the first time you mentioned this, make us one, and then referencing John 17, we haven't been very good at that. That's been a difficult thing for all of us. There's issues that we understandably so have divided on in terms of our opinions, but that doesn't mean and it doesn't give us the right to divide the body of Christ. But it's really been a challenging season. So what kind of was the genesis of the Make Us One event tomorrow? Because that's tomorrow at Joyner Park, which is a beautiful area up in Wake Forest. What time does it start tomorrow, Mark?
Yeah, it's going to be from 4 to 7. We're going to have it's going to be a great time. We just But yeah, the genesis of it, I tell you how it started. We did this in 2010, if I can. It's hard to believe it's been 11 years ago. But, we did it at Joyner Park. But I don't know, we were a little bit discouraged with it. We went to every church around. Not many people came.
Yeah, yep.
So it's just the way it goes with ministry. You know how it goes. But
been there, done that.
Yeah, that's right. But God just placed it on my heart this last year and a half, 2 years, especially with all that's going on with the church. And like you said, with a lot of the racial division,
sure,
things happening with that, and even in the church. So, but pretty much our basis is, you know, we're going to John chapter 17, 20, you know, where Christ prayed for all the believers. He prayed that he said, I pray, Father, that they would be one as me and you are one, so the world may see that you sent me. That's just such a, you know, the words in red. I like the words in red.
So, yeah.
Jesus' words. He wants to see the church come together.
No, that's exactly right. And that's the challenge. And you shared, you know, the last time when it was difficult and you went around all the different churches. I'm like, I've heard this story before because I've been down this road so many times myself. And it can be very discouraging when you go through all this trouble and you feel that the Lord has called you to something and you're out there on the front line and you're doing what you feel led to do. And then, you know, you don't see as many people show up. And that's why I think that we tend to, at least I struggle with this myself, Mark, over the years, is I tend to measure God's pleasure by how many people show up to something that I've been in charge of or I was driving attendance for. And what he really calls us to be is faithful. He calls us to be faithful. Fruitfulness is on his side, and that's between him and the rest of his children, those that are in Christ. But, you want to hear the same thing I want to hear when we get to heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. And when something happens like this and you're called to it, you just have to be faithful to it. And that's an offering that you make and everybody else that'll be there tomorrow that's sharing their testimony and part of the praise and worship makes to the Lord. And whether there's 100 or 500 people, God will still be pleased because you're acting out of faith.
Amen. That's true. And I believe it's about obedience, you know.
Yeah.
God calls us to do, and we do. And it's a blessing.
And there's a lot of people that don't really get outside their own church context. I mean, the body of Christ is a lot bigger than your individual church.
Amen. But so what, just to share
yeah, go ahead.
2010, I just want to share about that because I was discouraged when we did it in 2010, but here was the blessing of it all. We did a nail it to the cross that day, and I went home that evening very worn out, tired, like, hey, we had banged on every door around in the Wake Forest area. That's my hometown, by the way, Wake Forest. But we banged on every door around there, the predominantly black churches, some of the predominantly white churches, the ones that are you know, just everyone goes, like Faith Baptist and different ones. But we hit all the churches out there. But when they nailed it to the cross, when I got home that evening, God said, and I looked at the cross and had all these pieces of paper on there,
yeah,
where people had written down their needs and what God was doing in their lives, and it changed my whole mind about what we did. We did what God called us to do,
and that's
what it's all about.
Yeah, because in your faithfulness to what He called you to, then the people that were there, then God works in their lives individually. And when you have a nail it to the cross moment, and whatever you want to write down and go nail it to the Lord, nail it to the cross and give it to the Lord. I mean, every single of those, you want to talk about how many, let's say there's 30 people that do that. Well, Jesus died for all 30 of them. So every one of them have inestimable worth. And you were just used of God to provide an opportunity for them to do some business with the Lord. And if that's not valuable, I don't know what is. And so that's why we have to just be faithful and let the cards fall where they may, because that's really up to the Lord way more than it is up to us. So tomorrow you've got praise and worship. You've got a bunch of people sharing their testimonies too, right?
Yeah, we got praise and worship with a band of brothers. Excuse me. And I got a good friend of mine, Dave Cleveland, coming from Nashville.
Cool.
He's a good friend of mine that we met at Christian Musicians Summit up in Nashville. And he's coming. I have one of the Larissa from Raleigh Dream Center. She's going to give her testimony.
Oh yeah, that'll be great. So that's
John Amachukwa is coming.
Oh yeah, good old my slightly younger brother from another mother. John, if you guys locally have ever been to Love Life, you know John Studley, African American pastor. Actually, his father-in-law is Bishop Wooden. So again, that's Joyner Park in Wake Forest, which is absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful park. It's going to be beautiful weather. What time tomorrow, Mark?
That's going to be at 4 to 7.
Awesome. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in. God bless you. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks so much.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. It was a delight for me today to share the time with two friends of mine, Tammy Fitzgerald from NC Values. So go to ncvalues.org and be a part of that. Just great Christians, conservative Christians that are out there on the front lines in North Carolina. Also deal with some federal issues, national issues, but mostly North Carolina issues. And they become a voice. They are a hammer. They are a persuasive force for us that have a conservative biblical worldview in the political realm and affecting the culture, religious liberty, family, life, all the things that we all care about, most of us here on this show. And they provide a way to engage. And so we need to support them as they're out there really serving us, serving the kingdom and serving the state. So ncvalues.org. And then our brother, Mark Pergeson, who was just on. So that's tomorrow. Joyner Park up in Wake Forest. If you're familiar with the Raleigh area, up Capitol Boulevard and Joyner Park off to the right. It's really beautiful. I don't know when they built it. It's not that old, but it's one of the prettiest little parks. It's not too little, actually, in the Triangle area. So if you've never been up there, it's beautiful. They have these old stone walls. They have these little buildings. It's almost like you're in Old Salem or something. It's beautiful. And tomorrow the weather's going to be spectacular. So make us one. We need that. And if you've missed gathering, and this is one of the greatest things about going to something like Make Us One, because that's tomorrow from 4 to 6. Or is it 4:30 to 6:30, Mark? I think he's still on Facebook Live. Okay, so he's got a video there on YouTube. So that's up on the Facebook Live feed, so you can go check that out. Remind me of the times, Mark, because he's still on Facebook Live. But one of the greatest things you can do for your faith is just go get around other Christians. Oftentimes, our Christian life is made up purely of the people we go to church with. your small group, the people you go to church with, that's the epicenter, right? Your concentric circles, which is great. But I'm telling you, there's so much more. When you're around other believers, it's so cool because you have that instantaneous connection. It's like you got the super, super secret Dakota ring. Tomorrow from 4 to 7 p.m. And then I put a link up. Mark's got the video up so you can learn more about it. But that's tomorrow, Make Us One, up at Joyner Park in Wake Forest. It's really a beautiful park, but you come together and worship with people you don't know, but they're believers. You have that. That's my finger snapping. Literally, the instantaneous. You know what I'm talking about, I hope. That instantaneous connection, that's the beauty of the power of the Holy Spirit in one body. Because you're like, oh, a believer. I've had that happen all over the world. You meet another believer, an actual believer. And boom, instantaneously, your brother and sister, brother and brother, sister, sister, whatever the case. Only two options, by the way, brother or sister. Shh, don't tell anybody I said that. And so that's another opportunity, which is going to be great. We're going to be out of town, otherwise I'd be there. So that's tomorrow, Make Us One, Joyner Park in Wake Forest, northeast of Raleigh. Straight out Capitol Boulevard from 4 to 7 p.m. And on that note, I was saying a couple of things for my Facebook friends during the commercial break. That one of the things I want you to take away from this, whether it's Mark, who has done this before, and like just be faithful. God calls you to something. I think the Lord wants me to do this. I want to have a praise and worship event. I'm going to have some testimonies. I'm going to do this. I feel like I should go serve. Maybe I want to start this thing. I'm telling you, from personal experience, you just have to, when that happens, just throw your yes on the altar. Just, okay, Lord, I mean, I don't know why you're asking me. I don't particularly feel qualified to do this. There's other people that are way better at A, B, C, D, E, F, and G than I am. But I'm telling you, you have to take that seriously and take a step. Start to work on it. That I told my 9/11 story recently. So that was, well, gosh, we got to do something. I'll drop a check off at a firehouse. Okay, that was great. I got to do something else, and I'd love to help the widow of a firefighter. How do we do that? Well, guess what? 5 weeks later, I'm literally at ground zero, and we gave money to a firefighter's widow in her house. And I was running a house painting company. My other friend was running a house painting company. And so, well, let's try to do something about it. And the next thing you know, boom. And that's how I got to where I am today, wherever that is teaching a Sunday school class. And a friend in the class was a Raleigh City Council member, Mike Regan, and he shared something in class that Sunday. It's like, hey, would you guys pray for me? We're fighting this kind of homosexual agenda thing down in the city of Raleigh. We don't have enough votes. Everybody hates us or whatever. It was not a nice situation. And it was only him and one or two other people on the city council that were standing up against it. It was definitely a terrible action that the city was taking. Could you guys pray for us? Just pray. You know, we were taking prayer requests. Now, 3 weeks earlier, I was at the same church here in town. We had a visiting pastor for a revival service. I didn't know anything about a revival service. I grew up in a kind of a boring, dead Presbyterian environment. And but the pastor there, Mark Harris, who ran for a couple different political positions, he was down in Charlotte, told a story about his church in Augusta, Georgia, where they decided he had just been there for like 6 months. Somebody brought something to the prayer meeting, and she's like, hey, pastor, I think we need to do something about this. We need to pray about this. It was a prayer meeting. He said, yeah, you're right. We need to pray about this, but why don't we put a little feet to our faith? And when's the next zoning meeting? And he took, if I remember correctly, took 40 people to the first one, 80 people to the second one, and 400 people to the third one, and they won. They've defeated it. And I'm like, wow. Actually go, you know, do something. Engage. Show up. Try to do something. And so 3 weeks later, after he tells us this story, Mike, the Raleigh City Councilman, comes to class and said, would you guys pray for me? And then after class, I'm like, hey, would it help if we got some people to show up, like at a meeting? And I'm just running my house painting company at the time, running my business, homeschool family. And he goes, yeah, that would really be helpful. Then I had another friend at Bible Study Fellowship, Catholic buddy, and he had been in politics, and I approached him. So we made a bunch of flyers, and that's how I met Bishop Wooden through all of that. And then I think it was April of 2004, we show up on a Tuesday in the middle of the day, mostly with homeschoolers because it's probably in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day. And we walked in there with like 325 people. I think 100 of them were from Bishop Wooden's church from Upper Room. And 3 weeks later, 4 weeks earlier, I'm just minding my own business. But hey, maybe we should do something about that. And that day, Call to Action was born. And four months later, We put almost 14,000 people. God bless our efforts. We had almost 14,000 people at the local arena here for an event with Dr. Dobson and Tony Perkins from Family Research Council. And we are off and running. I think we put 30,000 voter guides into churches that fall. That fall. Does that, well, maybe we should do something. Boom. So I'm just telling you this. My story, Mark's story, Tammy Fitzgerald's story is similar. Got to do something. I know so many people that just start with one tiny little thing. But you got to take that step. You got to go, okay, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't see the other side of the river here, but I'm willing to walk forward in faith. And you do your best. And even if it doesn't come together, you were faithful with what you believe the Lord called you to do. Seek counsel. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. But I'm telling you, you would be shocked with what the Lord does with your yes. If you ever think, I can't do this, I can't do that, welcome to the Bible. There's what David could do in his own power. And then there's a line. And then there's only what David could do through the power of God. And that's when you get on the other side. And once you cross over and you start walking in obedience to God's move and God's spirit and engaging what he's placed on your heart, and you see these little opportunities to serve. There's a great Bible study. Blackaby did it. Something, God, you know what I'm talking about. And that's what sent me to Kenya the first time. Where you see God at work, go join him. That's your invitation. Hey, I noticed God's doing this thing over there. That's an invite. Hey, over here. He sounded like C-3PO in the original Star Wars movie. Over here. God's like, yeah, I got some stuff I'm doing over here. See it? Yep. Okay. There's your invite. Take a step of faith, but you have to take a step. Remember Joshua? Okay, cross the Jordan. Let's get into the promised land. This is going to be great. Can you get the water out of the way, please? No, you got to take a step first. Get your little body in the water, Joshua, and then I'll get it out of the way for you, and then we'll get on with business. So let me just encourage you. Be encouraged by what you heard with Mark and Make Us One tomorrow. Join our park in Wake Forest. Be encouraged by what you heard from Tammy. And you go, well, you know, that sounds like a great organization. I should probably do something. You're right. You should. Prayer, yes. We do nothing without prayer. But prayer shouldn't, in most cases, shouldn't be the only thing we do. Remember what James said. To know what is right, not do it, is a sin. Experiencing God. Thank you, Kim, on Facebook Live. Experiencing God by Blackaby. That's what drove me to Kenya the first time. And to a bunch of these other things, because I'm like, when I see something happening and the Lord is involved and I'm aware of it, I'm thinking to myself, God made me aware of it. And maybe that's him inviting me to be a part of it. Hey, Steve, I'm doing something over here. Wow, that looks great. Knock, knock. Hello, anybody home? Anybody home? Hello. Oh, did you want me to like get involved? Yes, I would love for you to get involved. That's why I'm showing this to you. And once you do that, you kind of get on the other track. So this is what it felt like back in 2004 when I started to live a little differently and engage these opportunities that the Lord was putting before me. I was like I had most of my friends who were going to church, loved the Lord, doing Bible study, but busy with work and normal stuff. Nothing's wrong there. That's not wrong. But then are you looking for opportunities to kind of go a little deeper, experience a little more, engage your gifting, serving at church, teaching, leading, whatever. It doesn't have to be something that people notice. But then you start really engaging those opportunities in your gifting and your talents for the kingdom. And then I felt like I got on this, like both people movers going down in the same direction. But it felt like I got on the other side. And once I was on the other side, I had this whole view of my life as a Christian that I simply did not have before when I was on the other side of the people mover. Because I really wasn't engaging to a full extent my gifting and looking for opportunities. And once I did, there's the other wild thing that happens. It's like Joshua when the sun stands still in the battle, right? The number one question I got for years when I still had my business and everything, Steve, how do you make time for all this stuff? I never had an answer. I don't know. Ask God. He makes it possible. I don't know how it happens. He just does. And so that'll happen for you too. Big things, small things. God's got a burden on your heart. Do something about it. If you see him doing something somewhere, just consider that an invitation and go get involved. It's awesome. Whether you can do it at home, you can do it online, whatever. Be involved. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.